Well, the beginning of Passover riots on the Temple Mount, shootings at a Jewish center, the blood moons. What's it all about?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Advocate? What's your definition of advocate? I don't lose any sleep by suicide bombers in Tel Aviv, I'll tell you that much.
Ah, that was the voice of the man who is being held for killing three Jews in Kansas City yesterday. That was an interview he did on Kansas City's KMBC9. When he ran for a U.S. Senate seat for Missouri. Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire. Boy, a whole lot is going on. As I went to just check the news moments ago, I saw from Israel terrorist attack in the Hebron area. A Jewish man was shot and murdered by a terrorist near Hebron. His children were wounded. Once again, world hatred towards Israel, once again, irrational attacks on the Jewish people, and it is at the beginning of the Passover season, and in Israel, it has already started. Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. A whole lot to talk to you about. As always, we want to give you a biblical perspective. We want to step back and do our best to understand what is happening in this world. 866-34-TRUTH. I also have a question for you. Do you believe that all followers of Jesus should celebrate the biblical holy days? Not even focusing on Sabbath right now, but do you believe that all followers of Jesus, Jew and Gentile alike, should celebrate Passover and unleavened bread, should celebrate Shavuot, Pentecost, should celebrate the sounding of the trumpets and the Day of Atonement and the Feast of Tabernacles? Or should we at least understand the prophetic and spiritual significance of these days? What did Paul mean after all when he wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 5? Remember, these are Gentile believers in Corinth, but some of them were originally God-fearers, which meant they were Gentiles who worshipped in the temple. If they could be in the temple in Jerusalem, they could only get to the outer court, but they would go to the synagogues, I should say. And in the synagogue, they would hear the word of God taught and preached, and they honored and worshiped the God of Israel and sought to live by certain basic moral requirements, but they did not convert to Judaism and become full-fledged citizens in the Commonwealth of Israel, among the people of Israel. And now they hear the gospel through Paul. Now they hear of full inclusion in the family of God through Jesus the Messiah. They become born again followers of Jesus the Messiah. And now children of God, just as much as any Jewish child of God. And Paul writes to them, as he talks about sin in their midst in 1 Corinthians 5, he said, "Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Messiah, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Was Paul just speaking metaphorically there when he said, "Let us celebrate the feast"? So, in other words, just do this in a spiritual way. After all, who's to say that they were reading this right at the time of Passover? Was he making a spiritual point, or is he actually encouraging Gentile believers, as well as Jewish believers, presumably, that we should be keeping the biblical calendar? What do you think? 866-34-TRUTH. And with the Drudge Report headline, you know, time of the blood moons, and then these horrific things happening in the Jewish community, is something really up?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. By the way, another news report, and I wrote about this. You can read my article. Is there new evidence that Jesus had a wife? Of course, the answer is no, there is none. And how are you going to have evidence for something that did not exist? But to read my latest article and to set the record straight on that, go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and just click on latest article. And when do the news reports come out about this as Christians are getting ready to celebrate Easter? So I'll tell you more about that. Just got an update sent to me by my colleague, Daryl Bach, New Testament scholar. He's senior research professor of New Testament studies at Dallas Theological Seminary. He sent me a blog with some updates as well. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's listen to clip number 13. There is freedom of speech in America, and it is possible for people to air all types of crazy, radical views if they're running for office and things like this. It's disturbing that things like this can be said, but I do understand the sword cuts both ways, and people want freedoms to express things on different sides of a debate. But if we know something can stir up hatred that can lead to violence, obviously, where is the line drawn? This is Glenn Miller, who is now in custody for murder, targeted murder, hate crime, specifically targeting Jews. You're talking about a grandfather and a grandson murdered right before Passover. You're talking about targeted attacks at a Jewish center. Listen to what he had to say. Number 13.
The following is a paid political advertisement and may not be suitable for children, but this station is required to carry it by federal law.
White men have become the biggest cowards ever to walk the earth. The world has never witnessed such yellow cowards. We've sat back and allowed the Jews to take over our government, our banks, and our media. We've allowed tens of millions of foreign mud people to invade our country, steal our jobs and our women, and destroy our children's future. America is no longer ours. America belongs to the Jews who rule it and to the mud people who multiply in it. The undeniable proof is at davidduke.com. It's time for white men to unite, to join together, and to take our country back. This is Glenn Miller, and I approve this message.
Now, let me give you an idea of how crazy things have become in our society. You heard him mention David Duke. David Duke, former Grand Wizard of the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. This gentleman, Glenn Miller, reportedly a longtime Ku Klux Klan leader. A couple years ago, the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, which at one time did a tremendous amount of good and was very helpful in identifying hate groups, etc., has gotten so liberal that you are a hate group now if you are pro-family. If you say marriage is the union of a man and a woman, if you say that God did not intend a man to be with a man, you are now a hate group. The American Family Association is so characterized. Well, they put out a list, and I'm honored to be on this list, but I just want you to see the insanity of society today. They put out a list listing 30 new leaders of the radical right in America. David Duke was one of them. David Duke, by the way, appears on Press TV, which airs in the UK. It's an Iranian station, and it's filled with anti-Semitism. Reverend Stephen Sizer, who has also said some extraordinarily ugly things that we've quoted on the air and that I challenged him with in a radio debate. Doesn't air in the UK? No? Okay. Well, Press TV, Iranian run. David Duke appears on it regularly. Stephen Sizer appears on it. And there are inflammatory things that are said. The Jews, it's always the Jews controlling the media, controlling all the money, controlling society, controlling the Vatican. They're behind the AIDS epidemic and on. Always these lies about the Jews. It's been like this for centuries. I've documented it many times. You go back in Scripture. You go back in Scripture into the book of Esther and look at the way the Jews are characterized there. Look in the book of Ezra how they're characterized there. Oh, please understand that Israel is not guiltless. No human being, no nation, no group is guiltless. Come on, there was just a gay pride march in Jerusalem right before Passover. Think of it. And celebrate it in much of Israel. I'm hardly saying that Israel is guiltless. I'm saying that all kinds of lies are told about the Jewish people. All kinds of lies are told that the Jews are the one, whatever bad thing is happening in society, Jews are responsible for. How else do you think, and I'll get back to the SBLC in a second, how else do you think, friends, that Europe turned the way it did against the Jews? How else do you think that Germany turned the way it did against the Jews? These were friends, these were neighbors, these were co-workers, these were political leaders, these were educators. And then they're turned against in such a way that there's an attempt to exterminate them. And much of the populace either looks the other way or many participate in this. What? How do these things happen? They happen when you go through a crisis in your country and the Jews can be blamed as the culprits. If it happened in Germany, it could happen in America. It could happen anywhere. And through much of the world right now, it's the evil Jews and the evil Israel. And if you can't see the connection between the two, those constantly say, well, we're evil Israel, but not evil Jews. The line is very fine between that. Trust me on it. And watch how things unfold. So the SPLC has this list. David Duke, former Grand Wizard of the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, he's on it. Malik Zulu Shabazz, head of the New Black Panthers, he's on it. Other skinheads, neo-Nazis are on it, and I'm on it. Why? Because I say that God intends a man to marry a woman because I oppose the goals of gay actors. And that's how crazy things are when you see the extremism and the hatred and the all-out, you know, Heil Hitler killing Jews day before Passover in America. So here you've got a situation now. And again, you know, just looking at one of the most widely used websites, you've got, been up since yesterday on Drudge Report, there is a full lunar eclipse, the moon red like blood, and it says, week of the blood moon. And then you have these wild things happening. I haven't talked about the riots at the Temple Mount. I haven't talked more about the shooting in Hebron. It does get your attention, doesn't it? Let me just play, before I get to your calls, let me just play some clips here. I've been on the David Pakman show a number of times, and he is as far away from me in terms of biblical values and our views on homosexual practice, etc. We are poles and poles apart. And I've done a number of interviews. He'll post them afterwards on YouTube. The audio, you can actually see him. No, sometimes it's Skype. You'll see both of us. But anyway, fascinatingly, he interviewed Glenn Miller, the accused shooter in Kansas City. He interviewed him and talked flat out about some of his views. So, Joey, let's get some of these clips ready. We're going to start with number 19. This is chilling stuff to listen to. But here's what you have to realize, and this is what struck me today. There are a whole lot of Americans who think the same way that Glenn Miller thinks. Clip number 19.
How old were you when you first figured out that Jews controlled so many things?
Well, I really became Jew-wise in 1974.
Okay.
Is when I started reading some independent publications published by white nationalist leaders around the country, Dr. William Pierce,
the good doctor,
David Duke,
right,
and Wilmot Robertson.
And what exactly do Jews control?
Jews control the mass media in this country. They control the United States federal government, and they control the Federal Reserve Bank.
Uh-huh. So this, and because of this, because they're evil, he now decides to kill them in cold blood. 73-year-old man accused of going on a deadly shooting spree on Sunday at two Jewish facilities at a Kansas City suburb has been identified as a former Grand Dragon of the Carolina Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. Three people died in the shootings. Two of those shot were at the Jewish Community Center of Greater Kansas City. The other was at the Village Shalom Retirement Center. Both are located in Overland Park. So, again, this takes place on the eve of Passover. When Glenn Miller was arrested, according to the report, he was smiling. According to reports, he was yelling Heil Hitler during the arrest. Is there really a demonic attack on the Jewish people? Is anti-Semitism ultimately Satan-inspired? Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. We've had a couple of shows where we talked about the lunar eclipses, the four lunar eclipses that would take place this year and next, and all in conjunction with Jewish holidays, biblical holy days. And we did a whole show where my guests were very skeptical of it, did another whole show where my guest was very positive on it, believing that something is going on here. And my take was, well, let's step back and watch what happens here. If there is a lesson to be learned, if there is something to get our attention, and with even without the lunar eclipse issue, this would be getting our attention, it is that there is a real attack on the Jewish people worldwide, that there really is a Satan who wants to destroy, and Christians need to be praying for the Jewish people and standing with the Jewish people, yes, in the midst of their unbelief, yes, in the midst of their rejection of the gospel, standing with them for many reasons. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me just play one more clip, and David Pakman doing this interview. Normally, I'd be playing clips of him interviewing me and the two of us going at it. But here, in fact, Matt, send him a note of appreciation from me for his interview, aside from the parts I differ with where he raises the homosexual part. Just tell him, appreciate him doing this and interviewing Glenn Miller. Let's listen to clip number 20.
We're speaking with Glenn Miller, who is running for U.S. Senator in the state of Missouri. Do you personally dislike me? So, like, could we get along even though I'm Jewish and you hate Jews? Like, do you have anything personal against me, or how does that work?
Yes. I hate all Jews.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. For me to say out of the one corner of my mouth that I didn't hate all Jews, and then out of the other corner of my mouth, say that Jews caused the deliberate murders of over 300 million of my people during the 20th century alone.
Right. Okay.
Of course I hate you.
But what?
You earned my hate.
What have I done personally?
I hate all Jews.
Okay. What have I done personally to you, though?
It doesn't matter.
Okay, so it's just a general hatred. I gotcha.
Yep. Unreal. But we need, listen, we need to hear that, because that man killed three Jewish people yesterday. As crazy as it sounds, those attitudes are out there. It's important to understand. It has nothing to do with Jews being better or worse than anyone else. It has to do with the fact that God made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the presence of the Jewish people in the world remains a testimony of the reality of God. And this is something that my Jewish friends around the world will be celebrating and reminding their families of with Passover this week. The reminder of the fact that God did call us out for purpose, that the Messiah, the Savior of the world, is a Jew. If you're the devil, who are you going to hate? Jews, the apostles that brought the message to the world, Jews. And Jesus is returning to a Jewish Jerusalem. Yeshua will not return until his Jewish people welcome him. So, of course, there's an attack to wipe out the Jewish people. When God's promised to preserve us no matter what, we may be disciplined, but he will preserve us no matter what. Of course, there's an attempt by Satan to wipe out the Jewish people. It makes God into a liar if he could. And how is the Jewish Jerusalem going to welcome the Messiah back if there are not Jews in the world and if there's not a Jewish Jerusalem? 866-34-TRUTH. All right, let me go to the phones. Bobby, we've been talking about a lot of very heavy things, but back to the question of Christians in general celebrating the Feast of the Holy Days. Do you think that Paul was actually commanding all believers to do it when he said, let us celebrate the feast? What's your take?
Well, in our church, we have a Seder every year, just to show us what a Seder was about. But I believe that Paul, talking to the Gentiles, is saying that we are under a new covenant and that we do not have to live by the law of Moses any longer. Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Well, certainly, Bobby, there are many other texts that would be saying that.
Yeah.
So, no argument on that. There's absolutely not a command for New Testament believers, especially Gentile believers, that you must all keep the law of Moses. So do you think Paul was saying something metaphorical in 1 Corinthians 5 when he said, let us keep the feast? Messiah, our Passover has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, etc. Do you think he was just speaking metaphorically?
You know what? I'm not sure. I really am not sure. I thought that I was, as a Gentile, that I am grafted into Israel, to the nation of Israel spiritually. And that hate speech, you know, Christians are going to, we're going to be persecuted too.
And listen, we are persecuted already, and I believe that there's going to be a tremendous joining together in the midst of persecuted peoples. Hey, Bobby, short on time, but thank you for weighing in. And to be clear, my position is not that it is obligatory, mandatory, for all followers of Jesus to keep the biblical calendar. The question is there benefit to it? Was Paul exhorting it to be done at any point? Was it just metaphorical speech? We'll talk about it. 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, still another reminder for those that may have missed what's happening on WMCA or WAVA-FM. Just remember to keep listening the next half hour. You need to do so online. So you can do it at your computer, your cell phone. Just go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and you'll see a banner that says Listen to the Line of Fire Live. Just click on that, and you'll be able to keep listening. Friends, I'm holding in my hand one of the most important books that I ever wrote, one that's gotten such great response from so many readers. The number one book that I've written to give to a Jewish person who's open to find out more about Jesus, Yeshua, and the number one book that I've written for a Christian to unveil who he really is, the real kosher Jesus, revealing the mysteries of the hidden Messiah. I start off with the Holocaust. I start off with anti-Semitism and the connection, unbelievably enough, with Martin Luther. I lay on how Jesus is a rabbi like no other, and how the whole meaning of the gospel and the revolution he launched was as a lamb who was slain. And then I explain who Paul really was and what he did. And then the last section of the book, I unveil the hidden Messiah of Israel. One of my favorite reports from a reader is that when he got to the end of the book, he broke down weeping because he was so enthralled by the book, he was disappointed it ended. That's how into the book that he was. He wanted it to keep going. So get a copy of this book. We've packaged it together in a special savings for you with my two-hour debate dialogue with Sid Roth and Rabbi Shmuley Boteach. $35 normally plus postage today, $25 postage paid. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us today on the Line of Fire broadcast. The Passover season, Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread, begins tonight on the Jewish calendar. In the States, it's already begun in other parts of the world that are ahead of us in time frame. Many Jews who are not religious will still gather for a Seder. It's still a family event. Others will not, but this is a time when families will come together and they will go through what is called the Seder. It is an ordered meal with symbolism in the various elements on the table. There's also an egg, and no real good explanation for what the egg is doing there. I mean, there are explanations, but no really good explanations for it. And, you know, some say, well, where did Easter eggs come from? But we are not today going to get into a discussion about Easter eggs. Later in the week, tell you what, later in the week, we will debate the issue of Easter. Is it biblical? Is it a good thing? Is it Christian? Is it pagan roots? Well, but not today, okay? Not today. Fair enough? But there is a book that's gone through called the Haggadah, or Haggadah. And in it, it has various biblical texts and then Jewish traditions to celebrate the Exodus from Egypt, to remember the 10 plagues, to constantly put this in the hearts and minds of the next generation of Jews. And as Jewish followers of Jesus, we say there's more to the story, that the Passover was not only about the Exodus from Egypt, but the Passover was more. The Passover was not only about the ancient deliverance of our people and the blood of the Lamb put on the doorposts of the house of the each of the children of Israel. And when the destroying angel came through and saw the blood, he would, quote, pass over the Israelites. And so they would not die. Their firstborn sons would not die. But there's a greater deliverance. When Jesus began his public ministry, John the Immerser said in John 1:29, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away sins of the world." 1 Peter 1 tells us he was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. There is a greater deliverance that takes place through his shed blood on the cross, so that God's wrath passes over us, so that he, the Son of God, the perfect lamb without spot, he takes our place. He dies for our sins. He delivers us from the wrath of God, and he suffers the penalty for our sin by dying on the cross. There's a greater meaning, and there are many Messianic Jews, and I would say the great bulk, who believe that in the Passover Seder itself, there are elements that point to Jesus being the Messiah. You say, how in the world would that happen? This is a traditional work. Well, there are elements, and there's debate, how did they get in there? Three pieces of matzah, and one hidden and then wrapped up and hidden. Is that a secret reference to the Messiah, the Son of God, Father, Son, Spirit, the Son of God, who's broken for our sins and then is buried and then rises from the dead? And there are other elements in it. So for many years, Jewish believers in Jesus have used Passover Seders as a form of outreach. And they've used it to educate the church and to say there's much here that we can learn from about Jesus, Yeshua. And then, of course, traditional Jews say no such thing. These traditions have other origins, and scholars debate them. But it is a fascinating discussion to have. This much we know. The biblical calendar is prophetic. And as one of my guests, author of a book about the blood moons, Mark Biltz, says, look, Genesis 1 says plainly that God put the sun, moon in the sky, not just for lights, but for signs. For signs. Is there a sign right now on the earth? Look at Israel, look at the Jewish people, something is happening. Sure looks like it today, doesn't it? We'll be right back with your calls and more.
Fire we want, for fire we It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, this is just so extreme and so wild. The Kansas City shootings on the eve of Passover, terrorist attack in Hebron, Temple Mount riots. I just want to play one more clip from Glenn Miller on David Pakman. Now, again, David Pakman is as on the, I don't know who's on the east from the west, the left, well, left hand to the right hand. He'd be on the left, I'd be on the right in terms of many of our moral values. I enjoy being on the radio with him, doing shows with him. Sometimes I feel his questions are way off, and we've talked about that. But rightly so, there's a lot of play for his interview with Glenn Miller, who's now in custody for cold-blooded murder. You want to talk about a hate crime? This is a hate crime. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And a question I'm going to come back to in a moment is simply this question. As we come into the Passover season, and for me, we celebrate the Messiah's death and resurrection in the midst of the Passover season. That's how it happened. That's how it should be done, as opposed to two separate holidays, one called Passover, one called Easter. But does God want all Christians to celebrate the biblical holy days? Is the calendar important, something that believers should incorporate in their lives? We'll take calls on that, and I'll get back to the phone shortly, 866-346. So, Joey, I want to play clip number 21, and then we're going to play a clip from our end that is pretty wild. But again, Glenn Miller, now in custody for cold-blooded murder, hate crime, shouting Heil Hitler as he's arrested. Not just the ramblings of somebody crazy and harmless, the ramblings of an alleged murderer as of today.
Do you think the U.S. would be better off today if Hitler had succeeded?
Oh, absolutely. The whole world would.
Wow.
Not only white people, but the entire Gentile population of the world.
Wow.
Look at all the wars. Look at all the hundreds of millions of people that have died during and after World War II. Hitler would have prevented all that. Hitler would have created a paradise on Earth.
All right. You hear that. You think of how absolutely insane it is. And then you think, a lot of people believe these things. We've documented for years. We've documented the outrageous lies of anti-Semitism. What is more outrageous is that people actually believe them. And you have enough Jews in influential positions in the monetary world, in the world of media, be it Hollywood, be it news. You have enough Jews having influence in different parts of the world that, the evil Jews, trying to take over the protocol. Look, the protocols of the Elders of Zion, this notorious forged document that was circulated by with the Russians and an alleged plot that was overheard with a secret meeting in a cemetery. There's a group of 300 Jews, and this goes back over a century now. It's a bestseller in Muslim countries to this day, and there are people that buy in America, you go to the streets of New York City, they'll have these street vendors selling books and things. They sell out of those books a lot. and they'll be the ones that will believe that Israel was behind 9/11 and not a Jew died in the World Trade Center. Nonsense like that. Protocols of the Elders of Zion said there's a secret cabal of 300 Jewish leaders around the world, obviously in every generation because it's over 100 years old now. And they're waiting for the moment to take over the world. And you know what's going to happen when they take over the world? They're going to bring the entire world into subjection to the Hindu god Vishnu. That's actually in the document. And people believe it. All right, this is Glenn Miller on the Howard Stern Show. Now, I mean, this is the last thing I expected to do is be playing an interview of a man now in custody for the murder of Jews on Howard Stern's show. Sadly, Howard Stern, Jewish at all. Let's really pray that God will save this man. And listen to this exchange.
This guy really making way more sense than I'd ever imagined.
You like him?
can't believe it.
You like him.
Find me a political discussion on this show you can get behind.
Yeah, finally, Joe gets it. So you
I'm ready to go out and buy the book.
Joe, you like Lennon. You're going to try and support him.
No, I just think I got an open mind, and certainly I'm going to look into
all right.
pretty much everything he says.
Wow. All right, so this was a caller who was impressed. He was impressed. He was impressed by what this man had to say. How do you understand today, when there is such hostility towards the modern state of Israel, where people are calling for boycott, divestment, and sanction, BDS, when Israel invades Gaza in Operation Cast Lead to kill terrorists who have been bombing their people, thousands of rockets shot into Israel from Gaza. When Israel does this, that there are demonstrations all over the world attacking Israel for its evil actions, and there are demonstrations in America where people are saying back to the ovens and Hitler needed bigger ovens. Do you understand that there is something demonic going on? 866-34-TRUTH. Let me go back to the phones. Michael in Rock Hill, South Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, as far as the feast and all go, I mean, the first 20, 25 years of my faith, I just simply wasn't exposed to it. I grew up in a small town, and unfortunately, most pastors, most denominations have their own canon of scripture. Most are not preaching the entire Bible or going through the entire Bible. And so what I found later on was just a richness added to my faith. I don't feel like I need to observe anything in particular, but there is a desire to always have my faith increased and enriched, and that's really what I found with understanding more of that and how it relates to today and to me. I do have another question.
Yeah, so a positive, a blessing, something that's added in as opposed to something required or commanded. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Back to you.
Yeah, the other question on standing with Israel, and I was at your at Gordon Conwell, and you did a great job on that, and I certainly agree with everything presented there. Give your aside, my question is, and I wonder if this is not some of the dilemma in people's minds, take a simple example of like the recent world hunger situation with turning to supporting gay marriage and stuff like that. I think the problem is, how do you stand when things are wrong and understanding how to stand in a Christian way? It's like when something like that happens, we immediately say, okay, don't send your money, don't send your support, don't do that. And we stand in prayer and we stand in love and we stand ready to forgive. But how do we stand with Israel, with the state, with the people, with the place, and maintain truth? More specifically, I mean, you can stand in prayer, you can stand in mission, but can you stand in such a way that it gives validity to everything?
No, there's a right way to do it. Here, look at it like this. If you speak against my wife, Nancy, I'm immediately going to defend her. If in any way she did something that was out of line, you know, she slammed on the horn when she was behind you, when you were sitting for 30 seconds, the light turned red, and you get out and start screaming at my wife. Well, I am going to say, that's my wife, and you need to back away from my wife, and you need to calm down. Then I could say, I'm sorry that she blew the horn like that and it surprised you, but you were sitting there for 30 seconds. But my first reaction as a family member is going to be total solidarity first. And if there's anything wrong, then we'll address that rightly. So with Israel, what we stand together in prayer. Now, it's important that we have a heart for everyone involved, that we have a heart for everyone in the Middle East. There are future prophecies about the turning of the people of Iraq and the people of Egypt. In the end of Isaiah 19, it speaks of Assyria and Egypt, along with Israel, worshiping God. That hasn't happened yet. That's an end-time prophecy that we believe for. I expect great harvest from the Muslim world. As a Jew, and therefore as descendant of the Semitic peoples, I feel a kinship with the Arab Muslim world, as foreign as certain things could be and as murderous as certain aspects of Islam are. but we stand with Israel. We let them know they have a friend here in America. We vote accordingly. We encourage our political leaders to stand with Israel, to recognize Israel as our truest ally in the Middle East, and as the one surrounded by hostile neighbors that would love to live in peace. And then, from there, we preach the gospel to Jewish people. We pray for their salvation. And where we feel Israel does wrong, or Israel acts unjustly, or Israel's on a wrong course, as family and friends, we speak the truth. We speak the truth. 866-34-TRUTH. We will be right back with more truth.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire. If you've missed what we've been talking about in the first 50 minutes of this hour, let me summarize it by saying Satan hates the Jews and wants to wipe out the people of Israel, and that deep satanic hatred of the Jews continues to surface here on the eve of Passover, in the beginning of Passover in Israel. It continues to surface. And interestingly enough, at the time when a lot of people around the world, there's Christians and others, even secular, saying, what's with these lunar eclipses, these so-called blood moons? Very interesting. 866-34-TRUTH. Going to go back to the phones in a moment. But if you didn't hear this report, this was yesterday. Temple Mount riot in Jerusalem. I'm reading from the Jerusalem Post. Two police officers lightly injured. So the police officers sustained light injuries Sunday morning upon opening the Temple Mount's Mughrabi gate entrance for visitation when a throng of Palestinians threw rocks and Molotov cocktails at them. So in other words, this was pre-arranged. According to police, the violence began shortly before 8 a.m. when two petrol bombs and a barrage of rocks were hurled at the officers without provocation. How coincidental, the day before Passover. According to Israeli police spokesman Mickey Rosenfeld, riot control units were promptly dispersed to the Temple Mount, where non-lethal stun grenades were used to disperse the rioters. Last month, Likud MK Moshe Feiglin, so parliamentary member Moshe Feiglin, and a group of right-wing activists were besieged by hundreds of Arab youths incensed by the politician's visit to the Temple Mount, forcing police to remove him and his guests for their own safety. Friends, this is a powder keg, ready to explode at any moment. And in my dialogue last Thursday night with my friend James Michael Smith, grad of Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary. We hope to have a video out of that relatively soon. In our dialogue about Israel and the nature of the church and who Israel is and Israel today and ethics and so on, I had to take exception to a point he was making about the security barrier that runs through Israel by through different parts of Judea, Samaria, the West Bank. And he was saying, look, it's one thing if you just put it on the border to keep the terrorists out, but it comes into whole other areas, and it's really, you know, as he said at other times, a land grab. Others have accused Israel of doing this. And I said, I've got to be honest. It's offensive to me to make a comparison here. When you've got murderers, terrorists, who have shot and killed and wounded thousands of your people, no, I'm not saying all Palestinians are terrorists. No, I'm not saying all Muslims are terrorists. But when you have them, often fueled by the rhetoric of the government and the education system there and the theology of Islam, when you have them attacking your people and shooting your people and murdering your people, and you're going to get criticized for where the fence lies to keep them out, that, to me, is a very, very unfair, ugly comparison. But that's the way it is. I quoted in the dialogue Professor Fuad Ajami, a leading Arab scholar from Lebanon. I was at a forum hosted by Dan Rather, moderating discussion between Henry Kissinger and Fuad Ajami, and I asked a question. It was over 20 years ago. asked the question, is there such a thing as a Palestinian people? And the long and short of Professor Ajami's answer is no, there isn't. But the media will never tell you that. And he spoke about the imbalances in reporting. He said, look, Iraq uses nerve gas and no one says anything. Israel uses tear gas and there's a riot over it, to paraphrase. Let me get one more call. Let's go to Washington, D.C. Sarah, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you very much, and I love to listen to Fuad Ajami. Anyway, there are many people in the pop industry and everything that believe that there is an Illuminati. I haven't heard you speak about that, but they do believe, and they will say, and I do not, that it is the corrupt Jew. It is the, they even try to say it's the Rothschild family. But it,
yeah,
it
I was talking to a charismatic evangelist yesterday, a man who wants to see revival all over America, and he told me that he's been accused of being part of the Illuminati. He's not Jewish, by the way. I don't deny that there are secret societies out there that most of us don't know about, but the whole Illuminati thing to me is just sheer nonsense in terms of the way it's presented and the scope. And of course, it has to be Jewish in origin. Look, according to the Hamas charter, Jews control the Masons and things like that. Jews are behind every secret organization in the world. So the moment you hear the Jewish connection is when you can safely dismiss it. Now, are there, again, organizations working in subversive ways with many different groups and peoples around the world that we don't know about? Yeah, I'm sure there's all kinds of crazy, weird stuff happening. And are Jews involved in some? Sure, Jews have been involved in. Look, Jews have been called by God to be world changers. And when we get things right, we do it in a good way. When we get things wrong, we participate in communist revolutions. We have people like Karl Marx. We develop weird ideas with leaders like Sigmund Freud. So we do a lot of good or a lot of bad. Or, you know, we're media people like Howard Stern and Jerry Springer, you know, who are not champions of biblical morality, etc. So Jews can be involved in all kinds of things. But the Illuminati, take the whole thing with a massive grain of salt, especially with the Jewish connection part. By the way, I would tell you more, but I'm also a secret member. Just kidding, just kidding, just kidding. I wouldn't know where to join the Illuminati, even if I wanted to, but I'm kidding about the whole thing. Friends, I hope you appreciate that not only are we on the front lines of keeping you up to date with what's happening in the news, and giving you a kingdom perspective and giving you spiritual sense on what's happening in the news. We are on the front lines of Jewish evangelism. We are equipping believers to reach the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We are equipping the church to understand God's purposes for Israel and pray for Israel. By God's grace, we are getting to do some very, very unique things, but it is a partnership. It is a joint effort. So I want to invite you to join with us, but we want to make it worth your while in every way. My book, The Real Kosher Jesus, according to Lee Strobel, Michael Brown is a compelling voice in the critically important debate over the true identity of Jesus of Nazareth. Many other wonderful endorsements, even my friend Rabbi Shmuley Boteach, whom I differ with in my book. Excuse me, even Rabbi Shmuley wrote an endorsement for mine in the midst of our differences. You'll find it to be one of the most page-turning, eye-opening books you've ever read, and then give it to a Jewish friend. Get the book and a two-hour DVD debate moderated by Sid Roth with Rabbi Shmuley and me. It's only $35 plus postage. Today, $25 including postage, and you can order right online, right now if you're listening online. See the special offer? Go to askdrbrown.org. Just click on the special offer to take advantage of this or call us at 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, yes, Satan hates the Jews and wants to wipe our people out, but God will keep us and preserve us. Well, the beginning of Passover, riots on the Temple Mount, shootings at a Jewish center, the blood moons, what's it all about?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, in just a few hours from now, here in America, the Passover season, Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread will begin. And already in Israel and other parts of the world, we are well into Passover. Remember, the biblical calendar and the Jewish way of keeping time is evening, morning, so you start in the night and then the day. So we'll be talking about that. We'll be talking about some of the things that have happened in the news, and we'll be talking about this items getting a lot of talk, and I've been asked to write about it, so I did. Is there authentic evidence, new evidence, that Jesus had a wife? Perish the thought, of course, but we'll talk about that and take your calls. And question is for everyone listening, do you think there's ongoing significance in the biblical calendar? 866-34-TRUTH. Do you think at the very least Christians should understand the spiritual and prophetic significance of the Jewish calendar? Do you think that Christians, I'm talking about Gentile believers, not Jews by birth, you think that Gentile Christians perhaps are commanded by God because these are the Lord's feasts and holy days and they are lasting ordinances? Or is that just part of the Sinai covenant? Is that the shadow? The reality is found in Jesus, so why focus on the shadow? Do you think it's a sin to keep the biblical calendar, to incorporate the celebration of the death and resurrection of Jesus into Passover rather than having a separate holiday called Easter, to celebrate Feast of Tabernacles, maybe instead of Christmas? Do you think that's a sin, or do you think it's a sin if you don't? We'll take some calls on that as well. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, so just to review very, very quickly, yesterday in Kansas City at two different Jewish locations, three Jewish people were killed by and the man brought into custody for it. You have to just say he's accused because he hasn't been found guilty yet, but he's the shooter, and he's, according to reports, yelling Heil Hitler as he's being arrested, Glenn Miller. He was an ardent follower of David Duke. He was a Ku Klux Klan leader, and unashamedly, unapologetically blamed the Jews for the troubles in the world, said in a radio interview that he wished Hitler had succeeded and wiped out the Jewish people, claims that Jews are responsible for 300 million deaths. So that happened yesterday. Today, in Israel, a terrorist attack in Hebron. A Jewish man was shot and murdered by a terrorist near Hebron. His children were wounded. So this is the beginning of the Passover season in Israel, Temple Mount. Some rioting yesterday. According to a report by Bill Moreland, Glenn Miller, a day before he allegedly went on a weekend killing spree targeting Jews, Frazier Glenn Miller publicly discussed talking by phone with another a white supremacist who wanted to turn a small North Dakota town into a whites-only enclave. But that is only one of 12,683 anti-Semitic racist internet postings Miller has made on one racist site alone, the Vanguard News Network, in the past decade. In other postings, Miller has discussed the potential impacts if President Obama and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton were both assassinated. Another post, Miller applauds a recent commentary by Pat Buchanan, who said Russian President Vladimir Putin is merely protecting the ethnicity of Russians in a standoff with Ukraine, comparing Russia with Israel protecting Jews worldwide. You think, oh, just another nutcase? Well, in that case, you turn to murder. 866-34-TRUTH. What's this alleged evidence about Jesus and his wife?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Those words, Dayenu, sung here by Shel Gold, Jewish believer, those words, Dayenu, literally mean it's enough for us, enough for us. On the one hand, the Jewish testimony through the years, the suffering, the hardship, the pain, the scattering, the world hatred, that's enough. That's enough. But our God is always more than enough. 866-34-TRUTH. In fact, I'll give you a little Hebrew nugget here. Scholars debate the exact meaning of the name Shaddai, El Shaddai. Now you say, doesn't it mean God Almighty? Well, that's the way it's translated in the Vulgate, the ancient Latin translation. And in point of fact, the Latin translation, the Vulgate, and before that, the Septuagint, so that's before the time of Jesus, those point to a translation like Almighty or Powerful. But we don't know for sure what it comes from. Some say, well, I've heard it's connected with the Hebrew word Shad or Shaddaim, which is breasts, and it's like a fertility goddess, and Yahweh is the many-breasted one. Forget about it. That's as bogus as it sounds. Well, Shade, that's demon. Right. So God is powerful demon. All right, throw that one out. In Babylonian Assyrian, it's called Akkadian. There is the word Shadu, mountain. Well, since God is likened to a rock or a fortress, could that be the imagery that it comes from? That something to do with mountain and therefore powerful like a rock? It's a possibility. Some debate that as well. Again, we don't know for sure. But there's a Jewish tradition that says that he is the God Shaddai, that is enough. And then hence some teachers have gone from that, some Christian teachers have gone to say that he is more than enough. El Shaddai, the God that is enough. That's more likely a play on words than anything. As I said, we don't know exactly what the word Shaddai originally means. But as we sang or heard the words of Dayenu being sung, it just reminded me of that. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, I'm gonna put this question out too. I am going to put this question out. Do you think that there is significance to these lunar eclipses? Do you think God is getting attention? I'm looking at New York Daily News, Saturday, April 12th. Popular televangelist claims four blood moons are signs of world-shaking event. Four complete lunar eclipses will appear in the sky starting on April 15th. Pastor John Hagee of Texas's Cornerstone Church believes God is trying to communicate with humans through these celestial signs. The heavens are putting on a celestial show next week, and one Christian pastor is convinced it's a sign from God. Best-selling author and televangelist Pastor John Hagee claims the four blood moons that will soon appear in the skies over America are evidence of a future, quote, world-shaking event. Again, we've talked about these. The blood moons are part of a tetrad, a set of complete and consecutive lunar eclipses that will begin on April 15th and continue in roughly six-month intervals until October 2015. According to NASA, seeing four complete lunar eclipses in a row is very rare. The skies were tetrad-free from 1600 to 1900, but in the 21st century, there will be many. What's even stranger is that Americans have a front-row seat. For Pastor Hagee, it's a sign of the end times. Now, again, we've had discussions on this, different angles, different opinions on this, but when you have these events taking place now, when you have the... Now, look, I understand there were even more horrific events. There was a Passover in Israel, get the exact year, where a terrorist attacked a hotel. bombing in a hotel, and many, many, many Jewish casualties during the Passover meal. Just horrific. So what happened in Kansas City yesterday is not as dramatic, but it's absolutely horrific and tragic. You say, but Mike, why draw so much attention to this? I mean, after all, there was a tragic crash with a FedEx truck crashed into a charter bus, and kids and drivers and chauffeurs of the kids just killed. I understand that. I understand their accidents and their tragedies every day. They're grievous. They're terrible. When you have an overt hate crime, when you have somebody who has been spouting hatred against the Jewish people for decades, he says he became enlightened. He became, quote, Jew-wise, enlightened to the terrible role of the Jewish people in the world back in 1974. So when that happens, and it's on the eve of Passover, and it's here in America, and allegedly the man caught, Glenn Miller, is shouting out Heil Hitler while being arrested and smiling, and specifically targeting Jews, it does get our attention. And let me say this again. I said it in the first hour. And let me preface it by saying I worship God. I love God. I am secure in him. I do not get in panic mode because God is God, because Jesus has risen from the dead and is Lord. I simply want to raise the issue so that we can be aware, and as Christians, not be caught off guard, that if we have an economic collapse of real seriousness in America, you know who's going to be blamed. You know who's going to be blamed. You know that many will blame, quote, the Jews. And many will tie it directly to evil Israel. It's going to happen if these things unfold. If any type of unusual calamity through history, Jews got blamed for it if they were anywhere in proximity. So you have the Black Plague in the Middle Ages, early Middle Ages in Europe, and as much as a third of the European population wiped out. And who gets blamed for it? Jews. Well, didn't they die too? Yeah, they did, but you see, they were actually culpable. They poisoned the wells. Why didn't more Jews die? Well, because of Jewish law, because of hygiene, because of Jewish practice kept them safer than other people. But they died too. No, you see, they poisoned the wells, and they used like the hearts of human beings and animal parts and elements of the Lord's Supper. And people actually believe this and then turn around and slaughter Jews as a result of this. It's that same irrational spirit at work today. 866-34-TRUTH to the phones. Lorraine in Beverly, Massachusetts, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, I'm Lorraine, and I'm an Orthodox Christian. I have been researching an awful lot about the sacred calendar, and I am convinced that Jesus was crucified on Wednesday, and that was a high holy day, which they called Sabbath. As opposed to the weekly Sabbath. He was crucified on Wednesday, died before sunset. And then in Matthew, it says that there'll be 3 days and three nights, sort of paralleling it to Jonah being in the belly of the whale. So the sun will be in the earth for 3 days and three nights. And then that makes that he was raised on the seventh day, the Sabbath, before sunset. I think the sacred calendar is very important.
Now, why do you feel it's important for us to know if he was crucified on a Wednesday or a Thursday or a Friday?
It's important because Sunday, as appointed by Constantine, was the day to worship the sun god.
But why do you think, though, that so many believers, as early as the end of the first century, were gathering early in the morning on Sunday morning or after work on Sunday to celebrate the resurrection? I mean, why do you think they were doing that to celebrate the resurrection?
Because they thought they thought that Jesus was resurrected early Sunday morning. The Jewish calendar.
I know that, but why do you think that? Why do you think they had it so wrong? That's just what I'm wondering about.
Why do you think they had it so wrong?
Why do you think they had it wrong? Why do you think they thought he was raised early Sunday morning? This is hundreds of years before Constantine.
Well, actually, they've had the Saturday morning because the seventh day is. God said when he created the earth, the seventh day is a sign, and the seventh day is.
I tell you what, Lorraine, I got to jump in, but thanks for the passion and for the call. We got a break here, but thank you so much for weighing in. I appreciate it.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome to the Line of Fire. 866-348-7884. It was great to meet some of you at the dialogue with my friend James Michael Smith at Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary last week as we talked about Israel, present, and future, past a little bit as well. 866-34-TRUTH. Before I go to the phones again, let me just update you on this report. People say, have you seen this? Have you heard about this? What do you know about this? And so on. This authentic. It's authentic. There's no evidence of forgery. There's this text that's called The Gospel of Jesus' Wife, and scholars are saying it's authentic. There's no forgery evidence in the manuscript. Is it true that Jesus had a wife? No. Read my article on it. Go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and click on latest article. What the latest report said from scholars working with Harvard Divinity School is that the manuscript itself, which is a little fragment, that could say something about Jesus having a wife, or it could just be a reference to the disciples as the bride of Christ. And there's debate about that. It's a short fragment anyway. But what they determined, there was one dissenting voice, but they determined that there was no forgery in the manuscript. There was no forgery in the manuscript, meaning someone in the 20th century or the 21st century didn't create this to look like an ancient document. Rather, it does go back hundreds and hundreds of years. But what they determined was it doesn't go back to the 4th century after Jesus, which would mean 300 plus years after the time of Jesus. It's probably from the 8th century. So in other words, 700 years plus after the time of Jesus. my friend, Professor Darrell Bach, Dallas Theological Seminary, said that this would be the first text out of hundreds of texts that we have about Jesus that would indicate that he was married, if it's even saying that. So to suggest that one text overturns multiple texts and multiple centuries of what has been said about Jesus and what's been articulated about him, I think is not a very wise place to go just simply from a historical point of view. Here, I'll give you an example. Let's say 1,000 years from now, the earth continues, 1,000 years from now, historians find a letter written in the year 2510. All right, so hundreds of years from now, almost 400 years from now, written in the year 2510, claiming that George Washington, who died in 1799, was actually an alien from Mars. So how seriously would he take it? How seriously would, of course, if you still have these ancient alien shows and all that, they'd take it very seriously. But the point is, you're talking about something written probably 700 years after the time of Jesus, and maybe having a text from some heretical group saying that Jesus had a wife. Well, all kinds of crazy things are said. All kinds of false gospels were written. All kinds of deceptive reports were circulating within generations after the apostles. We know this. So is it any surprise that 700 years, a long time, 700 years after the time of Jesus, some heretical fragment is found saying that, what's the surprise? What's the big deal? But it's authentic. No, it means it wasn't written by a forger today. It goes back to 700 years after Jesus. It's not saying this is authentic and we now have authentic evidence. We have video reports from the first century. No. But of course, this comes out, gets a lot of discussion at the time of Easter. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Lois in Maryville, Tennessee. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Doctor. I just found out about you very recently. So, you know, forgive my ignorance about what you put forth. But as far as the calendar is concerned, there are a number of us throughout the world who have left the church. The Holy Spirit has been pulling us out and sending us in the direction of finding out who we are. And
what do you mean left the church, though? Because I'm part of the church. If all believers are part of what we call the church, the ecclesia. So what do you mean when you say that?
The ecclesia. I was raised good conservative Baptist up north, okay? And I have come out of their practices. We do not keep Christmas. We do not keep Easter. We are doing Yah's festivals. They're not the Jewish festivals, and I think that's a incorrect label.
Do you feel it's just to understand? Do you feel that it's mandatory for all followers of Jesus to keep the Torah?
I do personally. Yes.
So why was Paul so adamant about that, writing to the Galatians, saying that if anyone preached that they should be accursed?
I think that is an incorrect translation and understanding of that.
Yeah, how so?
We are supposed to Christian. What does Christian mean? Little messiahs, little anointed ones. If you're supposed to be followers of Yeshua, why are we not doing what he did? Why are we not keeping the scriptural feasts like he did?
He was a Jew living under the Torah. All right.
Sorry.
So do you stone disobedient teenagers? That's in the Torah. Do you burn witches? That's in the Torah.
I don't know who's a witch.
If you knew someone was a witch, would you burn that person to death? If you had disobedient and rebellious teenager, would you gather your friends and stone them to death?
If they have, they have to be taken before a Sanhedrin, which is not sitting at the moment.
Oh, but if it could be, you would stone them to death.
I would give them the opportunity to.
But if they didn't repent, you'd stone them to death. And if you knew who a witch was,
you can't say yes, I would, or no, I wouldn't.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So Lois, yeah, in all genuineness to you, you're really confused, and you really are departing from the gospel, and you're not heading in the right direction. There's a lot of good stuff to be recovered, but you're not heading in the right direction. If you write to my website, info@askdrbrown.org, we'd love to be of help to you. Recovering Jewish roots is fine, but there are very dangerous extremes, and you're well on your way, if not already there. So write to us. We'd love to help you. All right, Lois? Thank you. Friends, let us help you understand who Jesus is. Let us help you understand his Jewishness and how he is the hidden Messiah of Israel. My book, The Real Kosher Jesus, will be one of the most page-turning, fascinating, eye-opening books you'll ever read. You can get it with a two-hour debate with my friend Rabbi Shmuley, moderated by Sid Roth, at a great savings today. Call us now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the line of fire, 866-34-TRUTH. A whole lot of things happening in the Jewish world, beginning of the Passover season. And look, I personally believe, as I just corrected a caller that I believe is in serious error, I personally believe that understanding the biblical calendar is very important for all believers. I believe that it's important for us to not just know the past, but the future. That the first part of the biblical calendar is fulfilled in the death, resurrection of Jesus, and the sending of the Spirit. So Passover, first fruits, some would even include the burial with unleavened bread, but Passover, first fruits, and Pentecost, Shavuot, Feast of Weeks, corresponding to the Messiah's death, resurrection, and sending of the Spirit. And then, with a break of several months on the calendar, then what comes next with the return of Jesus, the second coming, it is the blowing of the shofar, the Feast of Trumpets, which is the first day of the seventh month on the calendar. And we know through many, many scriptures that Jesus returns with the sound of the trumpet, with the shofar blast. So his return coincides with that, which then brings national atonement for Israel. 10 days between the sounding of the trumpets and Day of Atonement, so a time of testing, a time of purging for Israel. And by the way, some hold to pre-trib ideas and post-trib ideas, and either one could really be understood in these contexts. And then it's followed by Tabernacles, which speaks symbolically of the harvest of the nations. I preached in Connecticut yesterday morning, and they were giving out palm branches to everyone that went into the building because it was Palm Sunday. It was the time of the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. If you go to Revelation 7, you see palm branches there. It goes back also to the celebration of the imagery from Tabernacles, the harvest of the nations, as the multitude no one can number is pictured there in Revelation, the 7th chapter. So all that to say that one indication that God continues to care about the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and God continues to work in Israel, and God continues to fulfill his plan among the lost sheep of the house of Israel and in the nations. One indication of that is that the calendar is still to be completed. It has happened. It will continue to happen because God is not finished with Israel. God is not finished with the Jewish people. God is not finished with the world. And one way that we see this ongoing animosity, hatred, attack, one way that we see the ongoing purpose and calling of Israel and the Jewish people is by seeing the ongoing hatred, hostility, to the point of murder, of Jewish people in different parts of the world. Okay, if you agree with our previous caller, if you heard her, that it is mandatory, it is obligatory for all followers of Jesus to observe the Torah, that Paul was not combating that notion when he opposed the false teachers in Galatia and said, if anyone preaches this, he's preaching another gospel, that you must be circumcised and obey the law of Moses in order to be saved. He said that person should be accursed. If you believe that, do you think you could do a good job of defending it, then please, by all means, give us a call. But the idea that Jesus lived a certain way, and therefore we are to live the same way. I mean, I'm just wondering, do you wear first century garb because he did? Do you recline at a meal because that was a common way of eating in a reclined position as opposed to a sitting position? Do we go to synagogues that were waiting for the Messiah to come? So in other words, a traditional Jewish synagogue in our community, is that what you do? Well, no, the Messiah has come and he's instituted a new and better covenant. It is founded on a Jewish foundation, on an Israelite foundation, but it now brings the Torah to full meaning and expression. 866-34-TRUTH. We will be right back with more.
God of light, hear our cry. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, Michael Brown. I will go to the phones shortly, and as we are entering into the Passover season, happy to discuss biblical calendar. We've talked about a lot of the events that have taken place in the world in the last 24 hours and some tragic events in the Jewish community. Here's a report on Palestinian Media Watch. We had Itamar Marcus of PalWatch.org on our show. I wish I could just tap into what he knows and what is in his brain. But here's their update from today. Palestinian teenager: my life's ambition is to reach the level that the martyr fighter Dalal Mughrabi reached. These are the words of a student at a school named after terrorist Mughrabi, who led massacre of 37. A school is named after him. And these are Israel's alleged peace partners? There's a teacher at the school. We in the Ministry of Education had the honor of naming our school after the martyr Dalal Mughrabi. So here she is on Palestinian TV. That's her life's ambition, to reach that level of this terrorist who led a massacre of 37 Jews. That's the spiritual reality. That's what we're dealing with. Listen, later in the week we'll have a discussion about Easter. We'll have a discussion about Easter. Is it right for Christians to celebrate Easter? Or are there pagan elements added into it? We'll discuss all of that. But first, just a clip I want to play from you. This is GeoBeats News, and it's about the blood moons. Clip number 22.
The lunar eclipse that is scheduled to happen after midnight on April 15th will reportedly be the first of four so-called blood moon eclipses that are expected to occur over the next 2 years. When Earth aligns with the Sun and casts a shadow on the Moon, it creates the effect known as a lunar eclipse, where the Moon gets darker as the shadow passes. As this happens, the color of the Moon changes to a dark, rusty red, so it is sometimes referred to as a blood moon. Groups of Christians believe that the series of blood moon eclipses could be a sign of the end times. A book on the subject was published last year entitled Four Blood Moons, Something is About to Change, by John Hagee, which says that the eclipses might correspond with biblical prophecy.
Yes, interesting that this is, sorry, just noticed what Dwight, our faithful screen caller, posted. Anyway, I'm just going to pass by that one, but I just spotted it in the midst of my intensely serious mood today. No, I'm not surprised, Joey. I'm not. That came just. I wasn't expecting it. I was talking about something very different, and Dwight found a way of inserting his unique humor, if we can call it that. okay, but sorry. Just it is what it is. It's fascinating to me that people are talking about this and they're wondering. So, no, I don't personally believe this is the end of the world, okay? We got, you know, a year or two and it's the end of the world. But could there be some major things happening? Look, the fact that people have, there's a tension on this. Again, to me, what's clear is this anti-Semitic, Jew-hating spirit ready to rise in destructive form. So is this an attention getter? Let's play one more clip from that report, number 24. 23, sorry.
But astronomers are more interested by what they call a lunar tetrad, which is when there are successive total lunar eclipses 6 months apart with no partial eclipses in between. Experts have marked their calendars for the three other eclipses happening on October 8th of this year and then April 8th and September 28th of 2015.
So again, they all tie in with days on the biblical calendar, Jewish holidays, but beyond that, biblical holidays. So we shall watch with interest and see if God is getting people's attention, or if this is just another one of those embarrassing moments for Christian sensationalists. We shall watch and see. I am. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Daniel in Dallas, Texas. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey, thank you for taking me. I just wanted to make a comment on the calendar. Yes, I think it is very important because just as we see Jesus fulfilled all the first three feasts on the day, we know that he's going to fulfill all the remaining three feasts, you know, on the same date. So we know that, you know, God's the same today as he was yesterday. So we know that he's going to not fulfill it on the timeline that we think from our normal calendar. I think that he's going to fulfill it on the Hebrew calendar.
Got it. So I am absolutely convinced that it's clear in Scripture. I mean, Paul is overt on it. The New Testament is overt on it, that the death of Jesus corresponds to Passover's resurrection, to first fruits, the sending
from
of the Spirit,
Pentecost,
right, Shavuot, Feast of Weeks, and his return is with the sound of the trumpet. You find that Zechariah 9, Matthew 24, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians 4, Revelation 11. So that witness is certainly loud and clear. The only thing I wonder about is, does it mean a literal return on the Feast of Trumpets, or what in Jewish tradition has become Rosh Hashanah? In other words, he literally died at the Passover season. Will he literally return at that time? If that's the case, then we know the day.
Obviously, know the year.
But the fact is, no one's going to know the day. Even each year, you could think, could it be this day? So that's what draws questions to it. However, the prophetic meaning of it is clear, that it coincides with this, which also means that God is still dealing with Israel as a nation, because this is the national calendar. But it's an important point, Daniel. I appreciate you calling in. By the way, just one little note. According to Jewish tradition, it's hard to prove this, but according to Jewish tradition, the law was given on Mount Sinai at what we now call Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, Shavuot. And again, we know what happened when the law was given on Mount Sinai. Israel embraced it and then rejected the law by committing idolatry and immoral acts, as a result of which about 3,000 Jews were killed. When the Holy Spirit is given in the book of Acts, about 3,000 Jews are now saved. The parallels are quite striking. Are they not? 866-34-TRUTH. Jim in Fort Worth, Texas, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just so appreciate your radio show for the purpose of discussion so that we can all grow in truth. So I just wanted to thank you for that.
You're very welcome.
And I've been a Christian my whole life. I'm 53 years old now, but I'm now studying with a group of men and women who are really have introduced me to the Hebraic sense of study. And I'm new to this, so this show is as good for me as anything, as far as just another viewpoint and a clear understanding. One of the things, so with that caller, he was talking, you know, you guys were discussing the law and all that. But one of the things that in our group that we're studying is just to be more like the Father. So instead of calling myself a Christian, I would rather call myself a kingdom follower, and so.
Why wouldn't you call yourself a Christian? Since First Peter says, if you bear reproach for the name Christian, don't be ashamed.
Oh no! Well, I'm definitely not ashamed. I think to most people, most people have a very limited understanding of the Bible and who Jesus really was and all that. So I'm certainly not ashamed at all, but Jesus, you know, he always said, well, I only say what the Father said, and I only do what the Father did. And so if we're all in the family and all come from the Father, then in the Father, for instance, it's just like
But isn't it right? But there are Jews around the world today who don't believe in Jesus. And what separates them from me as a Jewish follower of Jesus is Jesus. In other words, that's the one name under heaven by which people can be saved. That's the name to which every knee will bow and every tongue confess to the glory of God the Father. That's the name that we're told to proclaim in all the world. So why wouldn't we be proclaiming that and that central message? I understand the word Christian can have many different meanings today, and I use it selectively because because that could even be misunderstood with me as a Jewish follower. But shouldn't this our central purpose be to focus on Jesus Yeshua and to make him known, and then that brings glory to the Father?
Totally, absolutely. I mean, you know, and that was the first thing, you know, when the heavens opened up, the first thing, you know, the Father did was reaffirm his Son and say, you know, in whom I am so well pleased and loved, you know, which is something that all fathers should do. So I totally agree with you. All I'm trying to do is love the Father even more, and this is part of the teaching. So my Father says, he says, sit at the table and let's do it this way. I just want to do it the way he says, don't eat pig.
You tell you what, Jim, let me encourage you to get my book, 60 Questions Christians Ask About Jewish Beliefs and Practices. 60 questions. You'll find it very helpful.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, I just want to make something very, very clear. I'm a Jewish believer in Jesus. When you read my book, Real Kosher Jesus, you will see Jesus as a rabbi like no other. You will see and understand the genius of Paul to take the message of the Jewish Messiah to the whole world without making Gentiles become Jews. You will see how Jesus is the hidden Messiah of Israel and how even rabbinic text and tradition can be used as a bridge to help Jewish people see and recognize him. And the church, without question, has greatly departed from its Jewish roots and needs to recover those. However, it does not mean Gentiles becoming Jews any more than it means Jews becoming Gentiles. My concern, And if I had more time with our last caller, everything he could have been saying could have been wonderful. So I just ran out of time with the break. But my concern is anything, and I'm not saying this was the case with our last caller, okay? But I'm quite sure it was the case with an earlier caller who I warned about being in error. I am quite sure that anything that pulls us away from making Jesus Yeshua central is not from above. The exaltation of Jesus Yeshua is to the glory of the Father. And the Holy Spirit is working in the earth to draw people to the Son of God and thus bring them into the family of God. And as every knee will bow one day and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, it will be to the glory of the Father. Anything that puts a primary emphasis on something secondary is going in the wrong direction. If my primary emphasis is Jewishness and not Jesus, if my primary emphasis is some other aspect or malehood, I'm a man, that's my primary, I'm a male follower of Jesus, that's my primary emphasis, as opposed to Jesus being the primary emphasis, that is a serious error. Many people let the pendulum swing from the one extreme of the church saying it's the new Israel and it's replaced Israel and God's finished with Israel, which opens the door to all of the horrors of church history. And then they let it swing all the way the other direction so that Gentiles try to become Jews, and then say everyone's obligated to do this, and observing Torah becomes much more important than glorifying Jesus and sharing him with others. In fact, the idea of worshiping Yeshua as the divine Son becomes something they stray from. When that's the case, you know there's trouble. Trust me, not only is it scriptural, it is something we have clearly observed for many, many years. Let's grab one more call. Mo in Walnut Cove, North Carolina. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Shalom, Brother Brown. How are you doing?
Doing very well, thanks.
Hey, I just wish people would not make Christianity so complicated. They're looking for some sort of magic formula. But Jesus himself was so simple in his teaching. Going back to Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
That about says it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Romans 13,
Paul says that love fulfills the law because love does no harm to its neighbor. Now, the challenge, Mo, see, here's the thing about the teaching of Jesus. Now, some cases, you know, we debate what exactly did he mean, what was his point, and scholars study it and try to understand. But in short, most of what he says is real clear. The problem is living it out.
Right, yeah.
You know,
it's a daily struggle, yes.
Yeah, I had heard, I don't know if it's accurate or not, something like a Mark Twain quote, and he was not a believer, but it's not the things in the Bible he doesn't understand that trouble him, but the things that he does understand. And, you know, one of my friends was having a great career as a young married man, as a banker, and God began to deal with him about living for eternity. In his case, he had to leave his career and spend his life on the mission field. And he was reading in John 6 where Jesus was saying to his disciples, or John 4, don't work for the food that's going to perish. And here God began to deal with him about it. And he went to everyone he could find. What did he mean by that? Then it was for them to tell him he didn't really mean what you think he meant. But for him, that's what it meant. You've got to now just give yourself for souls and leave the secular world. But Mo, I really appreciate you calling and reading that, because if we start there, and major on that. Sure, there are many questions and issues. How do I love God? How does that work out? What does that mean in practical life? How do I love my neighbors, myself? How does that work out in practical life? But let's go back to the basics. Amen. And then, as children of God, with his grace, let's live this out. Thank you, sir, for the call. All right, I'm not going to take any more calls. So I'm not going to give out the number even one more time, as my habit is to do. Can I encourage you to be praying for Jewish people worldwide? There have to be a lot of people shaken now with the murders in Kansas City and the terrorist attack in Israel at Hebron, and even a more minor level, but still it's jarring, some rioting at the Temple Mount yesterday as well. There is a sense that many Jews have around the world, that there's just always hostility. Let's pray that more and more would look to the God of Israel, and as they look to the God of Israel, that the Messiah of Israel would be revealed. Let's pray for God's protecting hand against demonic attacks and plans, and let's pray that God would continue to do his great work in the nations. The salvation of Israel is to be life from the dead. It is to bring fullness for the people of God and the return of Jesus. So the Great Commission and salvation of Israel go hand in hand. And I want to ask you to partner with us as in a very unique way, from dealing with cutting-edge cultural issues to dealing with understanding the Word to raising up missionaries and sending them out to the nations. And some are laboring right now in the Muslim world in countries we can't even announce because it's too dangerous. And then on the front lines of Jewish ministry, debating the rabbis, putting out apologetics material, very soon releasing a completely revamped Real Messiah website for Jewish outreach. So I encourage you to stand with us and partner with us. And it's a great way also for you to do something that's important to the Lord, namely help an outreach to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So we're doing something very special. My book, The Real Kosher Jesus, which if you haven't read, trust me, the moment you start reading it, you'll want to keep reading it and go from chapter to chapter until you are finished. get the book, and when you get it, along with it, we've packaged my two-hour DVD, Debate Dialogue with Rabbi Shmuley Boteach, that was moderated in a very lively way by my friend Sid Roth. Normally $35 plus postage. Today, $25 postage paid for both. But call right now, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, or go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and order from the homepage there. My bottom line today, as for the question of the blood moons and all of that, we will watch and see. But let us be alert. These are critical times.